This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to the Sky Blues Extra podcast, which is kindly sponsored by Shortland Horne, Coventry's leading estate agents. My name is Tom Ward and I'm delighted to be joined by Andy.
Evening, Tom, mate.
Evening, mate. And I'm also joined by Matt.
How are we doing? You all good?
Yeah, all good, mate. All good. It's good to be back on in the new year, chaps. Thanks for joining me. A fair bit of disruption over Christmas period, obviously, but Sky Blues returned to league action yesterday on the road at Peterborough. And despite a lineup which left a few people scratching their heads, the Sky Blues put in a superb all-round performance and came away with all 3 points in a very impressive 4-1 victory. Andy, I'll start with you. You must be feeling pretty pleased after yesterday's win.
Yeah, I am. Very important win away from home in the league. I think it's been a good couple of weeks for us, you know, with that win against Derby and the win yesterday at Peterborough. It's really turned the corner because it was looking a little bit iffy before then. But now, you know, we can start looking up and rather down. So it's we seem to turn the corner a little bit in the last two games. So, I'm very excited for the season coming up, mate, to be honest with you. So, no, decent.
Yeah, definitely. I think that Derby result looks like a good result now, doesn't it? Because obviously, I know they're bottom, but they're flying in terms of the form, aren't they? And that's a good result, really, isn't it?
Well, they won yesterday, didn't they?
Yeah.
Again, beat Sheffield United. They're flying. So you look at that result in isolation on its own. Fantastic result. And it seems to have kicked us back into gear. I think we just needed that kind of 1-0 dirty kind of result to get back on track kind of thing. Yeah. Just to get the confidence going again, get a few players back in the team, you know, get a few bodies back in the building, as they say. So, and then yesterday we kicked on even more. So, yeah, I think it's plenty to look forward to from now until the end of the season, Tom.
Yeah, definitely. And Matt, it's always nice to win away from home, of course, and obviously in the manner we did. But, you know, also, as Andy was saying, a very important win after the run we've been on and, you know, should breathe some confidence into the side.
Yeah, undeniable to say the form has dipped since the start of the season. We set such a good pace really at the start of the season that it was going to be difficult to keep going at the same level. And, the form has definitely dipped or had dipped for a few weeks there. The other thing is, obviously, we have been very much, as you mentioned at the start, very much disrupted with fixtures and cancellations and everything else. So that's something that's got to kind of, you feel like it's got to breed into the minds of the players, because you're looking at it, you're thinking it's been 2 months since we've won a league game, obviously going back to Bristol City. If you actually break that down, you start looking at the games, we'd only played one game in the previous month before yesterday. So you can start kind of putting qualifying factors in there. We had difficult games. We went to Bournemouth and and the like, and you kind of start saying, well, actually, if you start looking at it in a bit more detail, maybe the form wasn't so terrible, but just that kind of, I don't know, it's got to affect you if you go that long during the season without a win over 2 months, especially over Christmas when you're thinking fixtures are going to pile up and kind of games are going to come at you thick and fast. But to get that monkey on our back a little bit, like you'd think it, there would be, is absolutely huge, I think, and obviously doing it in style as well.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there. I think there were never any sort of terrible results in that run, really, were there? There was never, you know, we didn't get thumped or we didn't, you know, feel like we were doing really badly. But like you say, the more sort of time that goes on, it just starts playing on everyone's minds a bit. And it feels like a probably worse run than it actually is in reality.
I think probably one of the things that maybe in terms of actually saying, look, this would be a concern, it would be taking chances, because I think there was a lot of games in there where we did actually create a lot of chances. I think back to maybe the one standout out of them all was Huddersfield as an example. But, you know, in quite a few games, we created a lot of chances and we struggled to score. Whereas you think actually the performances weren't so bad. You think in there, you know, we drew with Birmingham, we were the better team. We drew with Huddersfield, we were the better team. Sheffield United, we were for the majority of that game the better team as well. Come back from 2-2 against Bournemouth. So while the form maybe has dropped a little bit, on what was such an incredible start, I think maybe if there was one thing that actually stood out, if you look into it, was scoring goals. But, you know, you bang four in away from home, you kind of put in that to rest a little bit, and hopefully it will help help people kick on from here and kind of rediscover a bit of form in front of goal.
Yeah, definitely. Let's go back and look at the Peterborough game in more detail. Andy, what were the match stats?
Class. Tom.
I was going to say, we were driving home yesterday and we did give you a mention because Ave was kind of reading out the match stats and I thought, oh, Grizzo's going to be very happy with these stats.
Buzzing over these stats, mate. Yeah, if I had these every week, I'd be loving it. Yeah, 51.3% possession. We have 22 shots compared to their 9. And good shot on target ratio as well. We had 9 on target, which is, you know, just under half. So that's good. A bit better than our usual 25-30%. So they're a lot better. 508 passes completed compared to their 494. So we kept the ball slightly better than them, which I think everyone would agree with it when it was there. And defensively, very similar, 22 interceptions compared to their 20 and 18 tackles won compared to their 22. But to have 22 shots over the 90 minutes isn't very impressive, Tom. Very impressive indeed. We peppered them, didn't we?
Yeah, I was about to say that. Yeah, we really peppered the goal, especially in that second half. And even though we hadn't scored in both halves of the season, I thought surely today it's going to happen. I thought it's going to happen at some point. So, we definitely peppered them and you know, obviously got the goals to sort of back that up. Obviously, when the lineups came out, there were a few sort of heads being scratched, as I mentioned. It was an interesting selection from Robbins. I feel like there's a few areas to unpick here, Matt. Obviously, starting with the goalkeeper.
Yeah, to me, that was the real standout one, if I'm honest with you, kind of looking at some of those. I agree, you know, there were a few in there when the lineups were announced. I kind of thought, that's a bit surprising. Maybe 3 or 4 in total, but I think actually, and I don't know what your thoughts are, but kind of looking into it in a bit more detail, you kind of think Ehlers kind of ended up making sense to me. And it's not a criticism of Ben Wilson at all, because I think he's done, you know, brilliant when he's come in. And obviously he had a decent season last season. It's just for me, if he's available, if he is fit, Simon Moore's first name down on the team sheet. So that was the one that really stood out for me, because, you know, for me, he's been player of the season and he's such a solid such a solid keeper all around, really. He's obviously great at, you know, keeping the ball out of the back of the net, but just give Breeze that confidence to have him behind the defence as well. So that was a real standout one for me. The others, kind of, I think maybe a few people thought Shipley might have got a run out because of the FA Cup last time around, but now we're back to the league, you know, he's probably going to drop out. But you actually think about it again, that kind of left wing back position, I think Dabo's shown that it's not really, he hasn't got the flexibility to maybe move over to that side. He's very specific, I think, in terms of what he can do. And I think when it comes to Todd Kane at the minute, you just don't want to mess with what's going on there. You don't want to take him out of the position that he's in because it's producing such great results. And while I'm sure he could still do a job on the left-hand side, you just don't touch it. Just let him carry on doing what he's doing. So you kind of look at it and think, well, maybe that kind of explains the situation with Shipley. Plus, I'm sure we'll probably touch on it a little bit more. You know, maybe it was an opportunity for him to get a last run out before he moves on. But that one, I think probably a few people were scratching their head, but I can understand. And, you know, maybe McFadden as well, but you're thinking, again, if he's making his way back in, Clark Salter has looked solid since coming back. Higham obviously scored against Derby last week, and Rose, I'm a massive fan of Rose as well. So you kind of think if he is still making his way back, you can kind of understand that one as well. So for me, it probably was the keeper that stood out, but I don't know if there's any others that I've maybe missed out there you think are standing out as well.
I think that's a fair summary. I think, like you say, it's when you sort of start looking at them individually, there's a bit of a case around each of them. And I suppose, you know, what we have to remember as fans is that, you know, Mark Robbins is there day in, day out with them on the training field. He knows all of their, you know, there's not just the training, there's all the COVID situation now. There's a lot of factors that we just don't know about that happen in the week. And I suppose we just have to kind of have faith in Mark Robbins that he knows what the best 11 will be on the day. But Andy, keen to get your thoughts as well, obviously, with the goalkeeper situation. Obviously, we're big fans of Ben Wilson, of course, as his sponsor.
Yeah, of course.
I think he's a very capable goalkeeper. I think as a number two, you probably need to have a bit of a policy of, you know, if you play well and you come in for whatever reason and you can keep your place, I think that's good for his confidence and things like that and his development. So, you know, what are your thoughts on the sort of goalkeeping situation?
Well, initially when I found out about it, I was like, what the hell's going on here? Like, but then I think to myself, then you've got to think to yourself, I think this is mind games with Robbins in a positive sense, because I think that regarding Wilson, because he had such a good game against Derby, I think he just thought to himself, well, I'll put him in against Peterborough. It's a game that we've got a good chance of winning. And I think it's just a reminder to Simon Moore that he's got to be at a high standard to get back into the team, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
so he knows. So that's probably why he's doing it. I expect Simon Moore to come back in the side in the next couple of games, but it won't do him any harm knowing that if his level's not as high or dips, he knows that Ben Wilson will take his place.
Exactly.
So I think it's very clever management by Robinson.
But do you feel he needs that? Because, I mean, just for me, he's been the most rock-solid player.
I think any player needs it. If they've got competition for places, then they know that if their performance levels drop, that there's someone behind them to take their place. I think I think it's thinking about it in more detail. I think it's a real smart move by Robbins if he does that. I really do.
Competition for places in any team, I think it's just a positive thing. I think, you know, if you looked at the Dabo situation, you know, a few weeks ago, we were sort of saying, you know, why is Dabo undroppable? Why is that the case? And now with a lot of competition, now we're hearing, you know, Bidwell might be coming in. There's, you know, Dabo might come back fighting and be a much better player. So I think this competition for places and having two really capable goalkeepers can only be a good thing, really.
I think having that competition for sure, you know, the theory behind saying competition, and 100% agree with it. I just kind of Dabo is a different situation, because Dabo form has led to kind of the situation we're talking about. And Simon Moore hasn't really had any level of dip in form. And you just think, maybe would he value making that kind of point with Moore above kind of picking his best team? I doubt that he would, to be honest with you. I don't know if maybe he's still making his way back in a little bit, Simon Moore, because obviously he has, you know, he has had kind of COVID issues and everything going on as well. I wonder if that is it. But I mean, I 100% agree with the theory, having that competition, certainly with goalkeeper as well, where, you know, obviously somebody can kind of make the position their own. It's never going to hurt, is it?
Yeah, no, exactly.
I don't think do Simon Moore any harm.
Yeah, of course.
No, I think he's a top professional, isn't he?
He is.
Simon Moore, you can tell from his interviews. Obviously, he did that podcast recently and things like that. Mm. And he's a top professional. He's obviously been a number two himself a lot of his career. So he probably appreciates, you know, when a player gets their chance, he's probably quite happy for Wilson to be filling in for him. So, but I'm sure he'll be back in the team soon. And obviously, I know last season, obviously, that there was a situation with Morosi where probably he was a little bit alienated in the end and ended up leaving the club. But I'm sure, you know, that won't be a situation that will be a problem this season. I'm sure. It was a cold afternoon at London Road We started very well, though. Lots of energy. And Shipley actually went close early on, Andy, but his effort went just wide.
He did. It was a really fast start by Sky Blues. And, yeah, decent effort by Shippers. Obviously, a bit surprised. Well, not surprised in the sense that he was playing, because he did well against Derby, but playing at left wing-back was a bit of a surprise. But we didn't really have anyone else, did we, Tom, really? So, yeah, he got forward well all afternoon, put some decent balls in the box, and that effort was a decent try from Shippers. It was good to see him on the pitch, to be honest. And if that was his farewell to the Sky Blues, it was not a bad farewell, was it?
Yeah, he definitely, there was just something about his performance, wasn't there? He shifted in and he was obviously almost a little bit emotional at the end.
Yeah,
and
I saw that.
The fans and all
brilliant
that
video
stuff.
That was, you know, on the on the cover official site. I don't normally praise them very often, but that was a very, very good video with him doing that little dance and farewell. That was class.
I think it's nice as well for him as well, because you know, he's been a great servant to the club.
He has
had a bit of stick at times, which is probably, you know, just happens with any player. But if he does end up leaving, it's nice that he's sort of had that opportunity to sort of prove, you know, what he's about and, you know, how much he does care about the club. And, it leaves on a sort of good note. But
obviously, we
don't know what's going to happen. But, yeah.
If he does leave, he'll go down in Sky Blue folklore and what he's done for the club.
Yeah.
He's one of our own, and what he's done for us, you know, those goals in the playoff finals, you know, wouldn't be never forgotten. So,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, if he goes, he would go with our blessing, won't he?
Yeah, and he's lived every Cough fan's dream.
Yes, absolutely. Of course he has, yeah. Yeah, good little dance as well, I like that.
Yeah, not bad,
yeah,
not bad.
Yeah, not bad.
It didn't take too long for us to get ourselves into the lead, Matt. The crowd all shouted shoot, as we often do from all sorts of positions on the pitch, but this one felt like it was the right thing, and Hamer duly obliged and got us into the lead.
Yeah, I don't think we're ever going to have any issues with nudging Hamer along with taking a pop on goal. You know, we all know he's not shy on confidence, and for good reason. Obviously, I think from a technical point of view, he's comfortably the best player we've got at the football club, and if he's going to line up a shot from 25 yards, you've got confidence he's going to go somewhere in and around goal. It was good to obviously see it go on target. As you do feel, he tries to kind of be that accurate. I think we said this a few months ago with a couple of his free kicks. He tries to be that accurate. He's not settling for getting it on target a lot of the time. He's trying to pick out the stanchion. He wants to pick out the top corner or in off the bar or something like that. Just absolute pinpoint precision. But this one, obviously, I know kind of a fair few people, and I saw a lot of the Peterborough fans as well mentioning their goalkeeper. And yes, you've probably got to give a little nod to the keeper and say it's not going to kind of go down in his finest moment for sure. But if you can put an effort on target from that kind of range with that kind of power behind it, then you're always going to, you know, you're always going to have a chance of scoring a goal. And it was a well-struck shot. It probably is one the keeper should save, but it's not absolute routine save, I don't think, in terms of kind of it's coming at him from distance and with quite a lot of pace. So, that technical ability, you kind of, we all know Hamer's going to shoot, and it's good to see one go in the back of the net. I think, obviously, we can say it will improve his confidence. I don't really think we have too many worries about that. I'm sure he would have still been lining up from all angles. But it was an important goal for us as well, getting in the lead early on, because you do think, and maybe one of the issues we've had in recent weeks is having a lot of chances but not taking them. So to get in the lead after kind of, you know, quarter of an hour of the game, and a game we should win, probably did help to relax us and was probably quite instrumental in us going on to score four goals.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the keeper was a little bit out of position, wasn't he? But I think it was just the power in the end, wasn't it? The power on the shot just made sure that it was going to go past the keeper.
It doesn't look good because obviously he's kind of palmed it in, but
Better from the stand at the other end, where I couldn't really see the opposite goal, to be honest. But on the highlights, didn't look quite as sexy. There you go.
We'll take it.
Yeah, we'll definitely take it. We really started to dominate the game. And in the 25th minute, Andy, Matty Godden decided it was time to mow the lawn.
Yeah, he got the mower out, didn't he? This is all Ben Sheaf, though, isn't it?
Yeah. I was going to say, big credit to Sheaf here.
Oh, that's proper ratting around. Just doing the dirty work, closing down, winning the ball back, playing a simple ball to Godden. Godden's in that position will finish 9 times out of 10. The bagsman's back, isn't he, again? And he's one of the sharpest tools in the Sky Bet Championship for me. And but Ben Sheaf, absolutely outstanding harrying of the ball. And any good midfield, defensive midfield player does that. And he's got great ability as well, technically, Ben Sheaf as well. And he's becoming a bit of a diamond in the rough, isn't he? And he's becoming a bit of a standard. I think he's become, his performances are getting stronger and stronger. And the doubters, who I see on Twitter quite regularly, were quite quiet at the minute about Ben Sheaf, which is quite funny. So
internet's gone down.
It's it's completely gone down. They'll start on someone else in a minute. So, but no, fantastic play by Ben Sheaf, but the finish was sublime.
Yeah, it's a brilliant understanding as well, isn't it? Because I think it was the same with the when it was the Bristol City one, wasn't it? Where Kelly sort of threaded it through and he knew exactly where Godden needed it because he just does that type of goal so well, doesn't he? He's absolutely
He doesn't look, does he? He just knows where the goal is.
He knows, yeah. Like you say, 9 out of 10 of those, you just know where it's going. As soon as you see that ball go through, you just know exactly where in the goal it's going to go as well. And it was a great understanding, not just the closing down, but Sheaf just put that ball in exactly the right area for where Godden needed it. And it was just a brilliant goal. I mean, we've the number of players we've had over the years who would just spoon that wide or over the bar or into the car park, wherever.
Yeah.
But Matty Godden, you'd bet your house on it to be parted in that bottom corner, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. What is it, 10 goals in 17 games? It's better than 1 in 2.
Yeah.
So, you know, at this level. So, you know, obviously, I think with Godders as well, he's got the ability, as we all know, with his finishing, but he's got that drive.
Yeah.
He's almost like playing with a point to prove, because a lot of people doubt that he can do it at this level. And when you've got his ability at finishing level, which he has, which is razor sharp, and he's born with that finishing ability, and you've got that drive that people doubt in you, then that's some player, mate.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's played like that his whole career, hasn't he? Always had a bit of a point to prove. And
absolutely.
Where you see where he's come from non-league.
Yeah,
it's an amazing career, really, when you look at it. Rose's way up. It's a great story. And, you know, he's living the dream, really, in the championship now at the highest level he's played at. So, no, it's brilliant for him. Peterborough did get one back just before half-time. It was George Grant, who, of course, we know well, having scored against us in the playoffs for Notts County. This is a brilliant goal, Matt, to be fair, and not a lot we could do about it.
Yeah, he'd, as you say, so we're familiar with fairly similar result as I remember at the other game with that one as well. So actually, almost works out a bit of a good luck charm for us. Hopefully, he can score more often against us. But no, it was a fantastic goal. I think it's one of those. The main thing you've got to say about it is just kind of take a step back and applaud the technique in it. It's if you are being really critical and. You know, as fans, we probably are. Maybe there's a chance for Hamer to clear it off the header from out of defence, but it's not the easiest. It's kind of come into him, obviously, on the up. So I think you'd probably let him off that one. And I think, the main thing to take away is that technique on the goal is absolutely no chance for Wilson, really. He's just bent it kind of top corner, just one of those where you know he's just going to put it out of Wilson's reach and there's absolutely no opportunity for him. So, yeah, it was a frustrating goal as well, obviously, because you're thinking at that point, 2-0, feels comfortable, feels like we're probably going to kick on from there and pick up a fairly comfortable win. And to go in at 2-1, it did feel a little bit deflating, even though we're still winning on the road.
Yeah.
So it was quite a frustrating goal at the time, even though, you know, probably we all felt still quite confident we could go on and win the game. But it's one of those again, isn't it, with as a City fans, you kind of see that going, you're thinking, right, here we go, what's coming next. But as far as the goal is concerned, absolutely fantastic finish.
Yeah, I think it was one of those where, you know, we were absolutely flying at 2-0 and the crowd was up, it was so loud, and then it just you know, everyone goes a little bit quiet in the away end and you know, there's a little bit of nerves around, but it was just about getting in at half time, I think. And obviously then we knew that the third goal would be the important one in the game. But I felt like we came out and controlled and dominated the game, Andy. And for me, it felt quite comfortable. It didn't feel nervy. And I still felt like, you know, we were going to go on and win the game.
Yeah, which is impressive, isn't it, Tom? Because normally, you
especially
know,
especially away from home,
you go,
right?
Yeah, especially where, you know, you go 2-0 up, you fly in, you're playing better, you're the better side. And then they score a worldy finish like that. And then you think, this is going to get a bit jittery now. But no, statement to us and how we came, and we just completely controlled the game until the third goal. I didn't ever think that people were going to get an equaliser, so that's testament to the lads. And excellent going forward. And I do feel I'll say this very quietly and I'll whisper it, that we're turning the corner a little bit away from home. I think...
Was it one loss in six?
Yeah, thanks for that, Tom. Yeah, I was thinking that. Yeah, you told me that earlier, but I forgot. But yeah.
You're meant to be in Stato Grise,
though. I'm supposed to be, but yeah. but yeah, no, it is one loss in six. And we are... seems to be he seems to have changed the formation away from home, by he seems to be happy with that box midfield away from home now,
yeah,
and playing one up top, which he didn't do at the earliest start of the season, so he seems to be happy with that, getting a bit of energy in the midfield with Jamie Allen and Cal O'Hare, and I think that away from home really helps, because away from home, if you've got a bit of energy in your midfield and you outnumber teams, it really does help. And you've got someone like Godden who gets half a sniff, he's going to put it in the onion bag. Then, yeah, it can be a winning formula. And ever since losing to Preston away, we've really improved. So no, that's positive sides going forward, that is.
Yeah, definitely. We got agonisingly close to extending the lead. It was a superb ball into the box from Kane. Those balls that we've come to recognise now. And O'Hare's effort came off the post. This was agonising, wasn't it, Matt? So close. And it's when it's O'Hare as well, you're just begging for it to hit the back of the net, aren't you?
Yeah, you kind of, we're at that point now, it's so unfortunate for him. I think kind of gets into so many of these great positions and you're just thinking, I don't know if we can say this, you know, you think if he can get a goal, maybe it will kickstart him on from there. He did that against Bristol City and unfortunately it's probably not... triggered that in him. I think I did say a few weeks ago, when it comes to his finishing, we all know it's probably the area that needs to be improved, and I think it will naturally come in time for him as well. I think he will get more goals as he matures as a player, so it's something that I don't kind of worry about in the long term, but just for this season at the minute, you kind of it is quite a frustration, I'm sure, for him more than anybody else. But as you say, quality again from the right hand side from Kane is just unreal, unplayable, really. I think we're at the point now where we can, you know, his overall quality in terms of crossing is absolutely fantastic. It's pretty much, you know, every ball that he's putting in is of a high quality. But I just feel like there's kind of going to be at least two or three of those balls per game that kind of tick over into the unplayable level,
yeah,
where you're kind of saying something very close to either being a goal or you know, hitting the post or whatever is going to come from this, whether it comes from you know, one of our players getting on the end of the ball or because it's that dangerous of a ball, it's going to go in off one of their players. And exactly, it's just such a great weapon to have, to know that you're going to have that probably two or three times at least a game where you get that level of delivery coming in, along with the fact that his level doesn't really drop massively throughout the game as well. So it's all about the ball in. And to defend O'Hare a little bit with this one, because there are other chances he's had over the last few weeks where you're thinking, it's probably on him a bit more. He is leading at full stretch, isn't he? It's kind of difficult to be able to overly control where that ball's going. You kind of think probably a Godden will find a way to do it. Somebody whose kind of responsibility day in, day out is putting the ball in the back of the net there. But, you know, unfortunate for him because he's stretching and obviously just quite can't quite deflect it on the inside of the post or just inside the post. But it'll come, hopefully, a bit more regularly for him over the next few weeks.
Yeah, definitely. And like you say, on Todd Kane, yeah, just been a bit of a revelation, really, hasn't he? Obviously, came in from QPR and there was a few question marks about, you know, him as a person, his attitude. But, you know, not just his ability, but all round, just seems like a, you know, top bloke. You know, seems to be doing a lot of good stuff around the club. And, yeah, just think, what great addition that was from Mark Robbins.
I think he's kind of somebody who maybe when he fits in somewhere, he's going to be full steam ahead. He's going to be fully involved and kind of get in it. And I think maybe he's one of those players, if it's going to be something you can tell very early on with him, you know, it can either go one way where he maybe doesn't start great on the pitch and the fans go against him and maybe he doesn't fit in so well in the changing room, and you kind of wouldn't be too shocked then if it does go down a bad route. And he obviously, we probably saw that at QPR, that seems to be what's happened there. And you can kind of see when you look at his social media, he does seem to be a character. He doesn't seem to be a meek guy, let's put it that way. I think he's somebody who, you know, he's got a standout character, and you just kind of think, yeah, it's gone well for him.
Harness that in the right way. it's
exactly, you know, yeah, it goes in the right direction. It goes well, because look, I mean, as much as we're all Cough fans and we want to say we'll back all of our players to the end, if somebody has a bad start on the pitch, we probably will. You know, we could probably say it about Ben Sheaf with the start that he had. We weren't exactly, as a fan base, the most supportive of him, but it's kind of gone the other way with Kane. He's had such a good start that he probably feels quite loved by us as a fan base, and hopefully that will just continue now. And obviously it's probably led to kind of unlocking what he's become this season, because he's been at Chelsea for a long time. He's played for England up into under 21s. There's got to be a player in there to kind of play at that level. And you just think, if you can lock it in the right way, as we obviously have done, then it's an absolute steal of a transfer for us.
Yeah, completely agree with that. We had a very similar one a few minutes later, Andy. This time it was a free kick, and it was Alan's effort this time that came off the post. So unlucky.
Yeah, really quick thinking, wasn't it, with the free kick? Yeah, clever play. And Alan would I think he should have gone across the keeper, didn't he? But he went near post, didn't he? Yeah. And a little unlucky. It would have been nice if Jamie would have got a goal, because, again, I thought his display deserved that. A real energetic display by Jamie Alan. And, a little bit unfortunate. If he had the chance again, I think he would have gone across the keeper, Tom. But, yeah, a little bit unlucky. But yeah, you know, can't score too many in an afternoon, can we, Tom?
Exactly.
It would have been 6-1.
True. Well, at this point though, I was starting to think, is it going to happen for us? But yeah, we did finally get the third goal. Lovely ball to Kane down the right wing. From Higham down the right wing. And again, that fantastic ball into the box that we've just talked about, and Thompson, their defender, couldn't do anything about it, other than turn it into his own net. Brilliant from Kane, Matt.
Yeah, it's, again, one of those balls, there's just nothing you can do. And I think we can expect a fair few own goals for the remainder of the season by these kind of balls going into the box. Because, as you say, there's absolutely nothing the defender can do. You know, he's got to put something on the ball, or it's going to be a tapping for Gyökeres behind him. So he's got to do something, but he can't put any control on it. His body's turned facing towards the goal, so he's got absolutely nothing really that he can do. And it was good to see, in terms of the celebrations, it was effectively celebrated like it was a Todd Kane goal, because for me it's effectively as if he's just picked out the top corner himself, in terms of kind of the quality of the ball that he's put in there. It is his goal, even though it's not going to go down as his goal. As far as anybody should be concerned, he deserves to be credited for it, as if you know, somebody does, if they slotted the ball home from 12 yards. And I feel like we're going to get a few more of those for the rest of the season, which will be a good scene.
Yeah, and Andy, it was a significant goal, because it was the first time we'd scored in both halves, which I'm still finding is an absolutely baffling stat, to be honest, at this stage of the season. But yeah, finally managed to do it.
Yeah, because we normally score in the second half in the 93rd minute.
Yeah, we leave it late, yeah.
So, yeah, so no, always good to score in both halves. It makes half-time reading a little bit easier, doesn't it, when you score in the first half, yeah. But that stat needed to end, and I'm glad it did on Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And Victor almost scored goal of the season, or best goal in Cov history, as some people were saying. Brought the ball down his chest, flicked it up, and then volleyed it, but into the side netting. A few people in the way and thought it had gone in. This would have been some goal, wouldn't it, Andy?
It would have been. It would have been the tonic that he just needed. Unfortunately, he didn't go in, but the signs are good with Vic. Yeah. Not just with that effort, but the God and fourth goal. He looked really, really strong when he came on, really at it. And he looked a little bit more back to his old self at the start of the season. I wouldn't be surprised if Vic starts scoring goals again. And if he starts scoring goals and Godden keeps scoring goals, we've got a chance for the playoffs.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, there'd be no stopping us, really, would there?
No.
Start of the season, you know, if we're being honest, we were absolutely flying, and it was because of one person. It was Vic.
Yeah.
He was scoring a goal every game, you know, sometimes two goals a game without fail for 10 games, something like that. And there was just no stopping us at that stage. If he can start banging them in, then it could be a very exciting
very, very
end
good.
Of the season. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Jordan Shipley went off and got replaced by Eccles. Good to see him back in the fold, Matt. Obviously, as we mentioned with Shipley, we're not sure whether he's on his way out of the club, but yeah, great performance from him. And, you know, obviously, as we said, he's been a great servant to the club. It was nice to see him sort of mark, you know, what could be his final game with that performance.
Yeah, it was, I think you touched on it earlier. He's somebody who deserves to go out. If he is leaving the club, he deserves to go out on a high, because he's somebody, for me, you know, every time he pulls on the City shirt, he absolutely loves the fact that he's wearing that shirt, wearing that badge, and he's going to put everything into his performance. And that's something that we probably, as a set of fans, have probably underrated over the last season and a half. I know, you know, as we said earlier, there's been a lot of kind of concern about him quality-wise in terms of kind of the Championship. And I think if we're being honest, there's a fair level of concern there as well. Still a lot to be told. I'm not saying that I don't think he can turn into a good Championship player, but just maybe at this point in time, in terms of his quality, there maybe are still those question marks. But in terms of kind of that work rate, that effort, that versatility that he brings to the team as well, which is kind of quite well exampled yesterday by the fact he did play left wing back. He can play in centre midfield. He can play in a more attacking role as well. It's something that has been important to us, especially last season, because we didn't, we didn't have the most full squad that you're going to get. We didn't have kind of options from every angle. We didn't have the money to be able to go out and do that. And to have somebody who can kind of be on the bench and come in and kind of cover all those positions is important. And also, whatever he maybe has lacked to a certain degree in quality when it comes to the Championship, you know he's going to make up for in work rate. So he's been a good servant to us. For me, over the last season and a half before, obviously, that he was a standout player at kind of the League One and League Two level as well. So is what he's done for the club, what he's kind of, achieved on the pitch and that kind of work rate that he's already brought for us. It's good that his last two games for the club has just kind of maybe put that mindset of what a great servant has been in it. And it's obviously put a positive light on it if he were to leave. And he obviously was able to have that nice moment, as we mentioned, leaving the pitch as well with the fans. So yeah, it's good to see, because he definitely deserves it.
Definitely, yeah. And I think he's a really good footballer. I think he's, you know, the club have clearly just sort of outgrown him, you know, in the progress we've made. I think if we were still in League One, he'd probably be playing week in week. He'd probably be our captain by now. He'd be, you know, a sort of leader in the team, wouldn't he? But just a case of, you know, we've moved so quickly and grown so quickly to where we are that, yeah, he's been left a little bit behind, but I'm sure if he does move on, he'll find a club at League One level.
League One level, definitely.
He will be a key player for sure. I could really see that.
100% right. I could see him be captain. I think he does a lot of things that probably a lot of the time don't go noticed on, or aren't as easily noticed on a football pitch as kind of, you know, what some other people are able to do and what their kind of role is to do on the pitch. He's got to do some things that maybe aren't as exciting. And like I say, the big thing, I'm sure, being a local lad, you know, we weren't ever probably that surprised in the passion and the work rate that he's brought to the club, but I'm sure he'll bring that wherever he goes as well if he is to leave the club. So yeah, he's going to be an asset to wherever he goes to at that level for absolute certain.
Yeah, definitely. And the icing on the cake came just into added time. It was Vic down the right. Very unselfish of him. Obviously, needs a goal himself, but he pulled it across to Matty Godden. And Andy, Matty Godden does not miss from there, does he?
No, never.
You'd bet your house on that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would. And brilliant link-up play between the two. Nice moment as well after the goal, how Godden pointed to him. If you read Godden's comments before the game, he picked out Vic, didn't he, in his comments before the game, saying that he just needs to put his head down. We all believe in him. And he's a quality player, and we all have these moments when we're not scoring goals. And it was a real nice touch by Godden after the goal, by pointing to him and saying, yeah, that's thanks, mate, for that. And maybe one day, maybe the next game, I'll repay the favour. But yeah, I think, like I said earlier, Vic's play when he came off the bench is really encouraging going forward. And like I say, Godden is not just a goal scorer. Comments like that before the game, celebrations like that after the goal, is a good captain material as well, Tom. Real leader, leader on and off the pitch.
Yeah, I've always thought that about Mike Godden, even when he hasn't necessarily been the assigned captain. He's a bit of a leader in that team, isn't he? know, with his age and his experience, and obviously, you know, we've obviously had him on. He's a great bloke as well. He's got natural leadership ability, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's a top lad, and we're really lucky to have him. We've got some good leaders in the team, with Fads and with Kells, but yeah, he's a. I don't mind having either one of those three being captain,
yeah,
because they're brilliant leaders and they're brilliant men.
Which is great to have, right? To have, you know, three different potential leaders in different positions on the pitch for different situations is very, again, a good thing to have, and a good position we've got ourselves in there.
Vital. If you're going to achieve things, you need people that lead, and you need good leaders. So yeah, if you want to win things, then you need good leaders, Tom. So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic and much needed 3 points, Matt. And it really does put us right back in the playoff picture, doesn't it? With obviously a couple of games in hand as well.
It does, yeah. I think kind of you look at the run of games coming up as well, and it's going to be a pivotal time. And it feels like we say this every podcast, so I'm sure it pretty much is no different. But if you look over the next three games, they're all basically against three of the five teams above us. We've got GPR, Stoke and Middlesbrough coming up. So the opportunity is there. Obviously, it's going to be a tricky run of games because they are three sides who are up there for a reason, and they're sides who are in the main on good form themselves. So they're going to be tricky games. But if we can take, maybe 5-6 points out of those games, we're definitely going to be right there kind of in the playoff picture. And after that, I think you're kind of looking at the run afterwards. It's quite favourable, if I'm honest. Kind of yep. Blackpool, Reading, Cardiff, Barnsley, even Bristol City and Preston, it's, you know, all respect to those clubs that at this level at the moment, you're thinking there's a good opportunity for us at that point. So even if we're not, you know, winning all of the next three, if we can kind of keep away from kind of dropping points to those teams above us, if that makes sense, if
yeah,
we
agree
can kind of
that,
keep in a kind of not let them get away with us type mentality, pick up maybe one win, a draw or something like that, we're actually in a solid position given those games we've got to follow up. But certainly yesterday was pivotal because you start to feel yourself dropping down, or start to feel the team dropping down the table. Those teams kind of, even though you know you've got the games in hand, that kind of build up of teams between you and the playoffs, it starts to kind of, it starts to put a weight on the team.
It takes shape at this stage of the season, doesn't it? I think, you know, back in probably October, November, there was quite a big chasing pack. You could probably look right down to sort of 14th, 15th, couldn't you? And I think when you get towards this stage of the season, you know, if you're any more than sort of 6, 7, 8 points, there's usually one team obviously do have a late charge, but
bit of a flyer,
more than sort of 6 or 7 points, you feel a little bit out of it. You know, some of the Blackpools that had a good start have fallen away a bit. So you want to just be within that sort of 4 or 5 points. And if you've got a couple of games in hand as well, I think that's the sort of pack you want. Like you say, you want to stay in and hold your position, you know, over the next few games.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that'll be the key, won't it? Just holding our position over the next couple of games.
I think that's the point. Just kind of, as you say, kind of point certain number of points away, but also kind of position in the table, because you just kind of start thinking if you start dropping too much below kind of 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, that kind of position, which could happen quite easily because it is still relatively, congested from a points perspective, then you just think there's a lot of teams in between you and the playoffs, and you just think you need, yes, we can kind of go on a run and we can do this. We also then start to need a lot of the other teams to kind of drop off as well. And you kind of think, well, Fulham, Bournemouth, they're not going to drop off. West Brom, you're going to think they're going to finish in the top six. And then you're kind of like looking at it and saying, well, there's probably 6 or 7 other teams in there, and we've maybe got 2 playoff positions to play for. We need a lot of teams to kind of, we need A on our side to kind of go on a crazy run, and B, the other side, we need a lot of teams to drop off. So kind of just keeping ourselves moving forward. And if we can continue to do that, maybe even maintain that position over the next 3 games or so, then we're in a really healthy position.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point. Andy, we have to give a special mention to the Sky Blue Army. They were terrific again yesterday. Obviously, just under 3,000 went to the game, and I don't think they stopped singing, did they?
No, terrific away support. We say it, don't we, every week when we have the away game, that the away support is very, very special. And it was yesterday, like you said, didn't know, stop, non-stop singing throughout, you know, even when, you know, Hamer went off. He even said that today he even wants to join them, doesn't he? Because he wants to get in there. So when he gets his 10th yellow, he'll be in the stands with us.
He might,
you could see him putting a few beers away, couldn't you?
Yeah, oh,
you could see him putting a few away.
He'd love it. So, no, fair play to us. And, you know, the comments on from Posh fans after the game, and it's not just them.
It's every week now, isn't it?
It's like, every week. They just say that, you know, Cov fans are top class, and it's not just that. It says we play, a lot of fans always say we play top football as well, and yeah, the club are in a good position at the minute, on and off the pitch, so it's good.
Yeah. I mean, to be taking, yeah, 3,000. I know we've always travelled well to Peterborough, but you just feel like every away game we go to now, it's definitely over 2,000. Sometimes it's 3. We even took, what was it, 4 to Blackburn. It's very, very strong away support. Better than a lot of Premier League teams, really, isn't it?
So, for sure.
Yeah, very, very impressive. I'll grab a man of the match. I imagine this will probably be a little bit more difficult than some weeks we've had. Matt, I'll go with you first.
Yeah, really tricky one. I've been thinking about this, to be honest with you. There's a few names that could stick out, really. It's difficult to kind of try and narrow it down to kind of even 3 or 4, because, yeah, majority of the team would have a decent shout of getting a mention. But I would give Shipley a strong mention for his performance and his versatility, and maybe a bit of a sentimental part of that as well. But I always have a leaning towards the strikers. I just think if they can put the ball in the back of the net, there's so much responsibility for them to do so, then that stands out for me. So I would, you know, Kane, another one stands out, and Sheaf, obviously, we talked about, and a few others as well. But yeah, I would give it to Godin. Just two things. Obviously, he scored the goals, which is important. He's been captain as well, and he's done a great job of that. And obviously, Andy, you mentioned as well about some of the things he's done off the pitch with the players in recent days. But just the fact is, he's kind of led the line there by himself, and kind of what we've allowed the team to do on the basis of getting those two attacking midfielders in Allen and O'Hare. But he's just taken a lot of attention away with the defenders, and we've just gotten so many decent positions just because of what his work rate has been like and what he's done with that back line by himself, in terms of kind of keeping them defenders moving, keeping them on his toes, and allowing the likes of Allen and O'Hare and Kane in particular to get into good positions. I think a lot of great work rate off the ball as well, in terms of leading that line by himself, to go along with the fact he scored 2 goals. So yeah, he would edge it for me. But yeah, I mean, 6 or 7 of them, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah, no, tough to pick. Andy, who would you go with?
Same as Matt, Godders for me. He had 5 shots, 3 on target, 2 goals. So
can't ask much more from a striker, can you?
Not really. No, fantastic individual display, but special mention goes to Ben Sheaf as well for me.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought he was a real class operator in the midfield yesterday. Yeah. And like I said earlier in the pod, I think he's a diamond in the rough, and I think he's going to get stronger and stronger.
Agreed. Really good, shrewd move to get him on the permanent, wasn't it, in the summer?
But there's a lot of doubters, wasn't there? There was a lot of people saying, why has Robins re-signed him?
But again, it's a bit like the team selection, Andy. You know, people.
Yeah, he knows better than us.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're, at the end of the day, we're football fans, and he's a football manager. And you know, at the end of the day, we can say what we like, but he knows really ultimately what he's doing, and his team do. And again, we have to, you know, trust him on that. I think we've mentioned everyone. I think the only other player I'd probably give a shout out to was Clark Salter as well.
Yeah.
I think he had a really good game on Saturday, Grizzo.
Yeah, absolutely. Who's your 3 out of 4?
So again,
at the back.
Yeah.
Back.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a tough one, isn't it?
That should be the host.
Yeah. You can ask questions, Andy.
I joke.
I don't know.
Your 3 out of 4?
It's a tough one. I don't think... they're very interchangeable. I do like having Fads in there. He is a leader at the back, isn't he? I don't know. I'm a bit stumped on that one. I'll let Matt give his opinion.
Impressively done there.
Splinters there, Tom.
Might have to join you. Really tricky. I would probably say Haim's one I'd have on the bench, to be honest with you. But it's tricky now, to be honest with you. I mean, we're at the point now, any 3 of the 4, to be honest with you, I'm not going to have any issues. I've got a lot of time for Haim. He's had another good game yesterday. He's contributed to a goal out of the back as well. And, you know, to say him is no criticism on him whatsoever. I feel very confident with all 4 of them, to be honest with you, whichever option it would be. I've been impressed by I think it's fair to give Clark Sartre a shout out, because, you know, you think about it, he has been out for a long time, come back second game back, and he's looked so solid in terms of kind of coming back into the team from that long layout. So, for me, he's probably a set name on the team sheet. McFadden for the leadership that he brings, and the fact he's his actual standard of play has been great this season as well, after maybe some tricky moments last season. And then I'm just a massive fan of Rose, so probably would be on, but I think you're probably the same, aren't you, Andy? I think you're a big Rose fan as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. I'm going to answer this question quite diplomatically.
Play four at the back.
No, start the three that started Saturday until someone makes a mistake.
Fair shout.
There you go. That's what I would do.
That's a fair shout. Fair shout.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
We'll now move on and preview the QPR game on Saturday. Sky Blues will entertain Mark Warburton's high-flying QPR at the CBS. In the reverse fixture back in August, the Sky Blues fell to a 2-0 defeat at Loftus Road. Andy, as we've kind of alluded to, this won't be an easy game by any stretch of the imagination, but it's definitely one that the Sky Blues Army can look forward to.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, really, really, really looking forward to this game. Obviously, they got a good result yesterday, beating West Brom. You know, obviously, they've got people like Willett, Charlie Austin. They've got ability, Chair, really decent footballer as well. But this is a really, really good game to be looking forward to, and a really exciting game. It's, you know, I hope there's a big crowd there. Let's get everyone down there, because, you know, I think we can really help by cheering the lads on for this one, because I think we're going to have to dig deep in this one, Tom, because we're going to have to play really well to win.
Yeah, definitely. It's not going to be easy. Matt, I know you've looked into QPR in a bit more detail. Clearly, they're having a very strong season. What can we expect from them on Saturday?
Yeah, great season for them so far. We can expect a tough game. I don't think there's any real possibility we're gonna stroll to victory or anything kind of similar at this stage of the season against this team. They're a solid team, and you can see that probably kind of where they are in the league. You know, look, they weren't exactly a team that went under the radar in the summer. That there were a lot of people who probably did fancy them to have quite a good season. They brought in some big name players. Obviously, getting Charlie Austin back on a permanent was a big signing for them. But they also had a number of good players in the squad as well. See, they've got McCallum now as well from us. So, you know, they've really added to the quality they already had there. And obviously, sitting in fourth is no major shock, to be honest with you. They've returned to form over the last few weeks, with three wins in a row now after that win, as Andy mentioned, against West Brom at the weekend. They'd lost two games before that. So, you know, kind of was potential that they might have been on a bit of a slide down the table, but they've turned that back around now. It's actually a team that don't really kind of put teams to the sword too much, or they don't get hammered themselves. I think at the last 15 games, there's only been two that have finished by kind of one team winning by more than two goals. It actually has been 2-0 in both occasions. Every other game out of that 15 game period has been either a draw or win by one goal either side. So I think we can expect a close game at the weekend. There are going to be opportunities, I think, for us in terms of, from a defensive point of view, they've got the joint worst out of the top 11 with Huddersfield with 30 goals conceded. So, you know, potential for us to create opportunities with the likes of Kane and obviously maybe Allen and O'Hare coming out of midfield. Likely to go in a similar formation to us as well. They generally will have three at the back with a couple of wing backs. You can probably expect them to have two up front as well. They are a team who can be similar to us. Maybe on the road sometimes they'll drop one out of the top two and they'll kind of pack the midfield a bit more. But I would expect them to stick with Austin and Dykes for the game with us next weekend. And goals can come all over the pitch for them as well. Dykes is the leading scorer with seven goals, but they've got four of the players, I think, with six to their name already. They've also got Dickey with four from defence as well. So there's goals all over that, all over the pitch for them as well. And it's going to be a really tricky game for us.
Yeah, definitely. I've watched a couple of QPR games this year, and they've got some really good players. Chris Willock as well?
Yeah, Willock.
He's obviously a class player, isn't he? So yeah, it's going to be tricky.
And it throughout the game as well, because you have Willock, who might start the game, or you might have Chair, but kind of one of those is probably going to sit on the bench, and they can bring them on. So
yeah,
you know, we're kind of going to need to be focused, even if we do take the lead, because they can bring options off the bench as well.
Where was Chair on Saturday? He didn't play, did he, Matt?
He didn't play. No, they started with Willock, who's on a decent run of form, and he's got a few goals recently. He's got I think six to his name this season as well.
Yeah,
but you kind of, either or in that situation. Willicks looks a quality player for them, but if if you know, if he starts and Chair was to come on, as I say, it's
Just wondering because he didn't even play, he wasn't even on the bench, so interesting. Just wonder if he's injured,
COVID perhaps, or something related, but who knows?
I wouldn't mind him being missing on Saturday,
Andy, how do you think we'll be approaching this one?
It's an interesting one, Tom, isn't it? What he's going to do formation wise, it's always interesting at 2 o'clock, with Robbins, isn't it? So, will he go top? You know, will he keep with the box midfield? It's interesting. It's a tough one. You know, is he going to bring Fads back into the defence? It's really, really... Is Moore going to start? It's a really interesting one. I don't know. If it was me, I'd tend to try and get two up top at home, if I was being honest. But who are you dropping out of the midfield? Because, you know, Cal, Jamie Allen, Sheaf and Hamer, you know, they all played really well on Saturday, didn't they? So, interesting one. But personally, because we're at home, I'd like to see Godden and Big Vic up top.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, it's probably no point trying to predict the lineup too much because it'll probably be completely different and then we'll be back here next Sunday.
Yeah, COVID doesn't hope that, does it?
Unpicking why the team was that way around, but there you go. Absolutely. But yeah, Matt, as Andy alluded to, hopefully it'll be a big crowd up there at the CBS. Obviously, I think it's our first Saturday 3 p.m. game since Bristol in early
November.
Which is madness. Obviously, a combination of you know, a few games being rearranged. Obviously, now has been on TV every other week, it seems like. But yeah, obviously a 3 p.m. Saturday game, which is what everyone loves. So hopefully a lot of people can get up there. I think the ticket prices are fairly reasonable as well. So, you know, hopefully, you know, an over 20K crowd.
Yeah, I mean, what else are you going to do in January as well? I mean, there's not really much else to do at this time of the year other than to go and watch the City. So you'd hope so. I mean, like you say, it's been a while since we've had one of those kind of home Saturday 3 p.m. fixtures. So and obviously it's on the back of a 4-1 away victory as well, which always is, you'd hope, going to bump up the crowd a little bit. I know the other side of it is as well, you know, you look at QPR, well-supported team. I kind of think back to having played them over the years, and it always feels like they do take a good number of fans. So I don't think we'll be seeing too many gaps in that away end. I don't know if there's any word on how many of them have sold.
But last I saw, they sold about 3,000, I think it was.
Yeah.
And there's still a week to go. And obviously they had a very good result on Saturday as well. So they're on a real high. So
yeah,
you know, that could creep up to 4,000. So yeah,
somewhere around 4,000.
Pretty packed away end as well. So, you know, all the makings for a good day out, I would say.
We're going to need a fair few fans, because 4,000 away fans, as we've kind of seen on the positive side from our perspective this season, is can make a good old racket. So a big crowd's going to be needed, somewhere around, you know, well, certainly over 20,000, a combination of them and us, but can make for quite an atmosphere.
Yeah, absolutely. I will grab some predictions. Andy?
Yeah, I think we're going to win this. I'm quite confident. But like you say, like Matt said earlier, I don't think it's going to be by a large margin, because, you know, I think all their games have been pretty tight. But I think we'll win this 2-1.
Nice. We're definitely happy with that, wouldn't we? Matt, I'll grab one from you and you can have the Tweet League prediction as well.
Yeah, close game. Like I say, they don't really do big wins or big losses, really. It's always a close game for them, and you'd expect to be the same on Saturday for us. So for me, tricky game, maybe just end up squeaking a draw. I'm going to go with 1-1.
Fair enough. Which, to be honest, as we mentioned, wouldn't be the worst result and would sort of keep us in that, you know, keep our position and stop them going quite... I think if they were to beat us, I think they'd be a little bit out of sight. You know, they'd probably be only, you know, maybe one or two playoff places left, but
they've got a couple of games in hand as well. Exactly. I think they've played one more than us, so,
and the 2 points ahead of the other two. I think it's important. It's an important game not to lose. It's not a must win by any means, but it's one of those you don't want to lose the game. Draw wouldn't be bad. We'll look a little bit ahead to the next three games. Andy, obviously we've got QPR, Stoke and Borough. Tricky games, obviously teams around us, but how many points do you think we should be targeting from these games? Obviously, we should be targeting 9, but realistically, how many points can we get from these?
Well, you say they're very, they are very winnable, aren't they, Tom? I'd think Middlesbrough are going well though, aren't they?
I think Middlesbrough away is a really, really hard game. I think QPR at home, you know, we've got an all right record against them.
Yeah.
You could beat them. Stoke, I think they're beatable, though. They're doing well. Borough away, I just think is a really hard game. It's a hard place to go. And I don't know, that I think that's the toughest out of the three for me.
I think six points.
Fair enough.
I'm going for six. I think we can get two wins out of the three.
Nice. Matt, what do you reckon?
I take that every day of the week. I think six points. It puts us kind of, you know, it definitely keeps us in a good position. And on the basis of, you know, like I say, those kind of five, six games afterwards are very winnable. At the very worst, you know, you'd want to see us win one, maybe get a draw out of the other, and maybe we could handle one loss. But at four would be minimum what I'd like to see us get. I'd be happy with five if that was a win and two draws, and six would be dreamland, to be honest with you. I'd be more than happy with that.
Yeah, definitely. No, I'd definitely agree with you both on that. We'll briefly mention Jake Bidwell as well. Obviously, highly rumoured to be joining us and announcing next week. Matt, this looks like a really, really good addition to the squad, doesn't it? He brings tons of experience at this level, and obviously a position that we need at the moment.
Yeah, it feels like there's a lot of comparisons to Todd Kane in a lot of ways, in terms of obviously position on the pitch and nature of kind of his career as well. He's somebody who started off kind of as a youth prospect at a well-established Premier League club. For him, it was Everton, and had a few loan moves and was always kind of there or thereabouts with the England youth setups as well. So obviously a lot of expectation in terms of what he could do as a player. And it hasn't quite materialised for him. And he's obviously then, at whatever point, similar to Todd Kane, he's made that decision, look, you know, maybe I need to reassess my career and drop down a level and get some regular football going. And as you say, that from there on in, he's been a very consistent Championship player. And the thought of having those options as well, obviously having Bidwell, Kane and Dabo and Matson when he comes back, in terms of kind of cover there, it shows, as you kind of rightly pointed out with the Shipley conversation earlier on, the level of progression that we've made to kind of talk about those four as options of very set wing back positions as well. Because you think, you know, even if you go back to last season, you think that we had, as soon as Darbo went out, then it was like, who have we got to?
Yeah, like players like Pask kind of and switching to about four and, at times and stuff.
Exactly.
Like that,
and people playing out of position and everything else. And you're kind of looking at it now and you're thinking, you'd be quite happy with any of the four of those, obviously started it, and you've got the cover there and the versatility. So, another true bit of business if it does happen to get that experience in an important position. And I think it would be it'd be a fantastic move for us.
Yeah, definitely. Andy, you pleased with the news on that one, or the potential news on that one, I should say?
Yeah, massive. I think he could do a really good job for us. You know, he played a lot for Swansea last season. He was a key member of their squad. And I think he'd be a really valuable addition. You know, competition for places, like we discussed earlier in the podcast, is vital for any winning team, especially a team chasing the playoffs like we are. Really important signing. Shrewd signing as well by Robbins. Mm. And fair play to the board as well, giving him some money to spend on.
Yeah, we've done well there, haven't we?
Obviously, yeah, big time.
We sometimes lose out, you know, obviously we've lost out on players in the past with wages. Mm. Obviously like Patterson and people like that, but I don't know if we just, it seems like we've got in there a bit early, and we've obviously, I don't know if there's some personal reasons around it why, you know, someone was mentioning maybe he wanted to be, you know, close to the south of England and things like that. But obviously we just seem to have got in there early, and Robin's obviously told him what the project is. We're obviously an attractive team because of our league position as well and the project we're building.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see that players want to come and play for us now, and we can attract players of that calibre to the club. It's very encouraging, isn't it, Andy?
Very encouraging as well. And Robbins loves saying he's going to do no business and then does some.
It's classic, vintage classic. Robbins, that is. As soon as the article came out, I said, lads, how many times has he said this?
Yeah.
Do you remember the window when he, was it January transfer window years ago?
Yeah.
He said zero incomings, and then Ron Giles signed at the 11th hour. So, Take
what Robbins. Do we think he does this? It's kind of, is it a mind game with the
fans? Is it because he's miserable, or
probably just
partly.
Just
yeah.
You know what though? I think it's sensible. I mean, yeah. if you think about how the transfer market works, if you're coming out at the start of it and saying, yeah, we've got to sign three players in these positions, you know, and then you go and try and negotiate that, you know, you're going to be paying more money for them, the players are going to demand more wages, and you're not in a good negotiation. If you're a bit more relaxed about it and saying we don't have any funds to sign someone, then you're probably going to get better deals, and we just seem to go about our business quietly, don't we? And it works well.
Definitely.
So yeah. I just think it's good management of the situation.
Keep the expectations realistic as well with the fans. You know, not kind of early on, you kind of, the excitement's always there. You go into a window and you're thinking, right, how much we got, how many people we're going to bring in, we're going to do this, that, year. The transfer rumours are whirling around, and maybe players are thinking, oh, what's going on with me? And what is this, that, and that? And he could just completely cut it off at the ankles straight away and say, look, absolutely nothing's happening. Maybe put a bit of pressure on the board for the fans. Yeah,
the fans forum go wild on Facebook and
exactly,
all that.
Yeah. I'm sure he'd take a laptop into his meeting with the board and just, well, look, you know, you're really not that popular. Let's see what we can do. But no.
It's the same though, as it was like in the summer, I think, because in other seasons he'd done his business very early. And I think it got to like, I can't remember, probably mid-July, and people started panicking a little bit and saying, you know, we haven't signed well, we're not going to have a good season. But it all sort of came together at the right time, didn't it? So I think the fans just have to, you know, understand that he's managing the whole situation, and clearly he's always going to make sure we've got a, you know, good enough team and good enough options out there to be competitive.
And something up his sleeve as well, as we see time and time again.
Yeah, absolutely. That's all we've got time for this evening, gentlemen. Really good chat. Thanks for joining me as always. And listeners, do make sure you check out our partners, Shortland Horn, across their different social channels. And as always, you can get involved in the conversation on anything we've discussed. All you need to do is use the hashtag SkyBluesExtraPodcast.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.